This is On the Other Side, a Star Wars fanfic written by Isama and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and is mostly Jen, with additional tags for Obi-Wan Kenobi original character, alternate universe canon divergence, Agricore, unresolved emotional tension, probably, gardens and gardening, hydroponics, aquaponics, one-sided attraction. AgriCorps member Obi-Wan Kenobi. Summary.
Always greener the grass is,
said Yoda, at some point, probably. A dozen years ago, Obi-Wan went into the AgriCorps. Now, Qui-Gon Jinn is taking a new Padawan. Somehow, this is Obi-Wan's problem. Chapter 1. Obi-Wan leans heavily on the tractor wire while the ship's hatch closes around him, pulling him and the cargo hatch into the ship proper. It's been a long day, and he's looking forward to the peace and quiet of his ship, to its familiar noises and smells, as opposed to the mess of a planet he's on. There's only so much dung smell one can handle before it starts to permeate seemingly through every pore. And if he could, if he had the capability, he'd love a bath now. A long bath, a hot one, with all sorts of soaps and maybe even perfumes, just to try and get some of it out of his system. But it had been a productive day all the same, and though he's exhausted, he can't say he's not satisfied.
Sir, 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 a message. There is a message, sir.
A mechanical voice peeps from within. One of his floating monitor droids, who is bopping excitedly in the air not far from the closing hatch. Obi-Wan arches a brow, then straightens his back, stretching.
How urgent?
He asks, rather plaintively. There's a bit of dirt raining from him onto the cargo bay floor, a rain of little particles, and he sighs. He might not have the facilities for a long soak in the tub. Even if he did, he wouldn't utilize them anyway. Too big a waste of water. But he has a sonic shower, and right now it has his name on it.
Urgent. From the Jedi High Council. Urgent.
Obi-Wan stops at that. That's unusual. Utterly, completely unheard of, really. Jedi High Council? As in, the Jedi High Council? In Coruscant?
All right, then, he says, more confused than excited. Play it out.
The droid, MD-5, bobs and weaves in the air excitedly.
Can't. Can't. It's a Harlow.
The droid beeps and flails its little spindly metal arms around.
It's in the cockpit, sir.
Obi-Wan runs a hand through his hair, pushing the loose strands back from his face.
A Harlow? From the Jedi High Council? That's...
Right, he says, and shakes his head.
Cleanup could wait, then,
he thinks, frowning a little, and then sets out.
Anything to report?
He asks, as he heads through the short cargo bay area, towards the doors leading to the ship interior.
Blip in the 14th line again. MD-3 thinks it's a build-up,
MD-5 says, bopping in the air, and then hurriedly following him.
MD-3 wants to clean the pipes again.
We already cleaned them twice, Obi-Wan mutters, and waits for the middle doors to open.
They do, slowly, jamming slightly on the withdrawal as they always do, and with a sigh, he shimmies around them, giving the door a light kick to make it open properly.
There must be a feedback loop of some sort.
or leak back into the system. We need to check the new pods. Maybe they're not sealed as tight as they ought.
Yes, sir.
The droid agrees, and bops in the air to nod.
Aside from that, everything is within normal growth parameters, as it should. The new samples are coming along nicely. We have compiled a report on growth rate. The medium seems to be working fine now.
Good, Obi-Wan says, pausing on the corridor and taking a moment to just breathe the more familiar, soothing scents of his ship. It's not quite enough to rid him the scent of dung in his nostrils, but it's a start. The corridor ahead of him is covered from floor to ceiling, and all over the ceiling, too, with plants. They grow out from racks and pipes in the walls, their leaves and vines almost enough to hide the complete system of pipework that supports them. In some places, only the constant bubbling of water and the occasional hiss of water being misted into the aeroponic systems gives them away. It's good to be home, Obi-Wan thinks, closing his eyes and just inhaling the scent of his plants, taking in the slightly humid air greedily, reveling in how much cooler his ship is than the sun-scorched, draught-strangled planet outside. He only has sympathy and understanding for the people of this world. Most every species out there gets agriculture wrong when they're handed all the tools and none of the understanding. But still, he can't wait to get out of here. But there is the message from the Jedi High Council waiting for him. And that could mean anything. And probably nothing he can now imagine, Obi-Wan thinks. He has never been contacted by the High Council before. He has no idea what it might be about. It could be anything. Might even be that he is not, in fact, about to get out of here. Who knows? Nothing to it but to check it out, he thinks. And with another deep inhale, he sets forward again, idly trailing his hands over the leaves and vines and curling branches all around him, taking strength from their ambient living force. The plants cover just about every inch of his ship nowadays. They'd started out in the laboratories and in the hydroponics bay, which is why he got this ship in the first place. Eventually, they'd spilled out from the labs into the small kitchen, into the living areas, into his bedroom, and finally into the corridors, with hydroponic systems built all over the walls and floors and sometimes, yes, ceilings. Now every corner of his ship is lit in various plant lights, and the cargo bay is the only place without a single plant present. Even the cockpit has not survived the slow, steady onslaught of plants, Obi-Wan thinks somewhat ruefully. And with a brief touch to a wreath of vines that have covered the doorway, he slips into the pilot's seat, automatically checking the systems, glancing at the jerry-rigged readout that monitors the water supply on board, before turning to the comms unit. 4 messages. 1 from Asona, 1 from the AgriCorps Council, and 2 from the Jedi High Council. You said there was a message, Obi-Wan points out to MD5.
There was,
the spherical droid says, and nervously weaves in the air.
It must have just come in.
That's not alarming at all, Obi-Wan thinks, running a hand through the loose strands of hair about his face again, and then shaking his head. Then he hits play on the first message from the Jedi High Council. His heart throbs when the visage of Grandmaster Yoda appears on the holodisplay, mere 15 centimeters tall and glowing faintly blue. It had been years since he'd seen the Grandmaster of their order, even in recording. He didn't think it would still hurt this much.
Obi-Wan Kenobi,
The recording begins.
Hope well this message finds you, and that your mission in Vetlin La prosperous has been. Finished, we understand it now is, and as such some free time you have ahead of you. A request this Jedi Council has of you. Decline it you may, and judge you no one will for doing so.
Obi-Wan frowns, leaning back in the pilot's chair.
Ominous, he mutters.
How is it ominous? He sounds nice.
MD5 asks, confused, and Obi-Wan just shakes his head as the message continues.
Remember Master Qui-Gon Jinn, I think you do.
The Grand Master continues, and Obi-Wan's mind goes oddly, almost blissfully quiet.
A quandary he has presented to the Jedi Council, and something of a troubling issue it is. His wisdom in the matter question is on count of you. His judgment in question is. Just his judgment we wish, and to that end, a task we have given him involving you.
The Grand Master falls quiet for a moment, and Obi-Wan thinks of nothing. His mind is completely empty, drawing a perfect, quiet blank. Then Yoda continues.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, ask we do that for a time, as guests, you take on Qui-Gon Jinn and his prospective Padawan. Accompany they may you on your missions, but defer to them you need not. Observing only they will be for a time.
The little Grand Master nods, his message delivered.
Decline this mission, you may, and no consequences to you there will be.
He says, then bows his head.
May the Force be with you.
The recording ends, the image of the Grand Master shuddering before it disappears, and is then replaced by another image of another Jedi Master, the very Master of the Order.
Obi-Wan Kenobi,
Master Mace Windu says briskly.
This message concerns the last message from the Grand Master, which I understand explained very little. Qui-Gon Jinn is, after years of declining prospective Padawan learners from within the Order, now choosing to take one from outside the Order. The Jedi High Council doubts his judgment in this. To test his judgment and the wisdom of his actions, his mission with you, his task, is to see you, observe you in action and in duty, and determine if his refusal to accept you as his Padawan learner 12 years ago was the right one. Depending on whether he learns anything on this task or not, we may refuse his request to take this outsider as his student.
The Master of the Order bows his head.
Please send in your reply within 2 days' time from the arrival of this message. May the Force be with you.
The message ends before Obi-Wan can quite figure out what he just learned. MD5 says behind him, motors whirring as the little droid bobs and weaves in the air nervously. Obi-Wan blinks slowly, then reaches out to play the message again. And then, after they've played once, he replays them again, paying closer attention to the wording. Well, that's something. The Jedi High Council knows who he is. They remember him. Even if they only remember him as the Padawan Qui-Gon Jinn did not take as his Padawan learner. Obi-Wan thinks, finally able to form some sort of cohesive thought. And now his worth to them is in, what, teaching Qui-Gon Jinn a lesson? What lesson? Obi-Wan looks away from the holodisplay, his eyes scanning over the consoles and readouts on his ship. Most everything reads out normal. He would need to get a refill of filter materials soon, and maybe refill the water tanks when he got the chance. But for now, all systems are showing up green. It's comforting to look around and see no issues that demand his immediate attention. Though right now he wishes there was an issue. He'd rather like a distraction right now.
Sir?
MD5 asks, swinging through the air and into his field of view.
Aren't you going to reply to them?
Obi-Wan drums his fingers against the pilot's seat handrest, and then stands up. I need to think. Go wake up TR-34 for me, will you please? MD5 lets out a beep of alarm, and then speeds out of the cockpit, swinging out of sight and past the plants in a hurry, while Obi-Wan looks at his hands. He has dirt under his nails, a smear of something brown on the back of his right hand. Probably shit, he thinks wryly. He really needs to wash, but more than that, there's a well of anxious energy bubbling up inside him now, and he thinks he could probably meditate it away, but he doesn't want to. MD5 has his practice droid up and ready in the cargo bay when Obi-Wan gets there. TR-34 is an old, tall battle droid, repurposed some half a dozen times before she'd come to Obi-Wan, and gotten repurposed again, this time as a training droid. She's already holding one of the practice poles when Obi-Wan gets back to the cargo bay, the only space he has left in the ship these days, which is big enough for sparring.
Feeling itchy, sir?
The droid asks, and swings the practice pole she's holding around.
How would you like it today? Something smooth, something rhythmic, perhaps something athletic.
Let's go with fast today, TR, Obi-Wan says, and grabs a pole, holding it toward her. She considers his stance, and then, without further ado, attacks him. 20 minutes later, Obi-Wan's hands are shaking with the strain of trying to hold the droid off, and he is even more tired than he already was, after a whole day of working the fields of Fetlan Law. Reading his wavering posture and shaking arms, TR-34 stops her assaults and steps back smoothly, returning her pole to her side.
All done, sir?
She asks coolly, eyeing him. Obi-Wan pants for a breath, collapsing to sit on the floor on his knees and just breathe. Now he's twice as dirty and sweaty as before, and his arms are shaking with the effort of trying to hold them up. So he doesn't, letting them fall to his sides. All done. Thank you, Tia, Obi-Wan says, just breathing deeply for a moment. He feels calmer. Calm enough to admit that it was a bit pathetic that even after 12 years, just the mention of Qui-Gon Jinn's name still brings this out of him.
You were sloppy today,
TR-34 comments.
Dragging your feet and flailing about like untrained simpleton. I am disappointed, sir.
Thank you, TR. You know, just the thing to say to lift my spirits. Obi-Wan laughs and hangs his head, just breathing, letting his heart calm down.
Truly, I am the wind beneath your wings, sir,
she answers, dry, and moves back toward her charging station. Her batteries are old. They look charged like a sieve. I recommend a shower, sir, and a hard look at your life decisions.
Way ahead of you,
Obi-Wan groans, but she's already switched off. Shaking his head, he pushes up to his shaking feet and then stumbles back into the ship proper. He needs a shower. And then he needs to decide what to answer the Jedi High Council. But shower first. Obi-Wan has been waiting for 12 years now. Qui-Gon Jinn can damn well wait another half an hour. Half an hour and a somewhat indecently long sonic shower later, Obi-Wan isn't entirely sure how to reply to the Jedi Council. Master Yoda had said that he could decline and wouldn't be judged for it. Master Windu said no such things, but actually told him what the whole thing is actually about, and now he's left with the quandary of... what? Scratching his wet beard somewhat confusedly, Obi-Wan tries to figure out what is actually being asked of him here. To house Qui-Gon Jinn and his prospective Padawan, sure, but why? For Qui-Gon Jinn to see what became of him after the man had left him on Bandamir with little more than a lightsaber and have a good life to see him through the following years? Obi-Wan looks over the cockpit, taking it in and trying to see it through the eyes of someone else. Someone who has never seen it before. He thinks the place is relatively clean. His monitor androids keep the place tidy enough. It's not technically part of their job description. He only got them to keep an eye on all the plants and experiments. But they'd eventually expanded in their tasks to general assisting and eventually cleaning. The spaceship had to be kept at least relatively clean and free of outside contaminants to keep foreign microbes from interfering with the experiments, after all. So, it's not dirty. It is sort of ramshackle, however. The spaceship itself is about twice as old as Obi-Wan is, and it's held together by thousands of repairs and patch-up jobs. It flies slow and laborious, and is far from the most impressive freighter in the galaxy. It's so awkward, in fact, that he's never been troubled much about it. No one even bothers to think about robbing an old, ugly Hulk like his. It's not exactly impressive results for 12 years of work, but it is his home. Qui-Gon Jinn and his prospective Padawan wouldn't be the first guests he's had in the place. Far from it. Obi-Wan even keeps a couple of the cabins relatively clear of plants because of how often other agriculturalists travel with him. Sometimes he even asks for payment for ferrying people around to bolster his small income, though usually he can make do by selling the harvests off the ship. In any case, having people in, even having them staying, that wouldn't be too much of a trouble, so long as they knew not to touch his plants. But Qui-Gon Jinn isn't just people. And a prospective Padawan learner, too. Running hands through his still slightly damp hair, Obi-Wan pushes the strands off his face and then turns to the holodisplay again. He had two other messages. Might as well have a look. Hassana, a Togruta agriculturalist who'd been one of Obi-Wan's early teachers, appears on the display in shimmering blue.
I read your final report from Fetlan Law. Looks like a messy work,
the Togruta man says, not bothering with greetings as usual.
Good work on the irrigation. Could use a bit more in the way of other fertilizers, not just dung, but I guess you can't expect much from a place that was turned into a dust bowl. Can't wait to hear how that went down. You heading back to the greenhouse? Let me know. I could use a sabacc partner.
Obi-Wan snorts at that. Sabak partner. Sure, he thinks. And then plays the message from the AgriCorps Council.
Specialist Obi-Wan Kenobi, we have received your reports on the restoration efforts on Fetlan Law.
Dr. Exinda, the human woman who leads the Jedi Service Corps Agricultural Council, speaks in the hologram and bows.
Your efforts seem well spent. The planet's growing efforts will be under monitoring for years to come, but with your success, they should be well on their way to recovery.
It's a basic after-mission congratulation message. Except for one thing. Fetlan La wasn't a difficult enough mission to merit a message from the head of the AgriCorps Council. Obi-Wan folds his arms and waits to see the end of the message. And there it is.
We have been informed by the High Council in Coruscant that they are approaching you for a voluntary favor.
Dr. Exinda continues.
Please take all the time you need to comply with the High Council's wishes. After your efforts in Fetlan La, you certainly deserve some time off your usual duties.
There it is, Obi-Wan thinks, and sighs, running a hand over his face. He should have expected it. Please do everything you can to please the High Council and comply to all their wishes and demands in your totally voluntary mission. All it's missing is a pointed look and a wink and a nudge. Although Exinda is far too reserved for something like that. Any chance to remind the Jedi High Council that the Service Corps do valuable work too, right? Right. Obi-Wan mutters, and tilts his head back to peer at the ceiling. Does he want Qui-Gon Jinn back in his life, even if just for a moment? No, not really. The time he'd known the man had been brief, and it had been years ago. He'd not exactly been pining for him since, except maybe a little. In the way of those who were aged out of their chance of ever becoming Jedi Knights and had to become Service Corps members. They all pined a little. Ask any one of them who was your last, and they'd all have a name and a story for the last time they'd been rejected. And Obi-Wan's was Qui-Gon Jinn, a relatively famous member of the Jedi Order. It's a story he's told more times than he can count, to a sympathetic audience of other Jedi Service Corps members. But still, he'd thought he'd left it behind, that longing for it, and the bitterness for the life he hadn't gotten to lead. He'd found his footing with the AgriCorps, and he'd made what he could of it. He has his ship, he has his duties. He's doing pretty damn well. Why does it still sting? Sighing, Obi-Wan looks down at the holodisplay and then reaches out to play the Council's message again.
His mission with you, his task, is to see you, observe you in action and in duty, and determine if his refusal to accept you as his Padawan learner 12 years ago was the right one.
He could have been a knight once, Obi-Wan thinks, and lifts one foot off the floor and to rest against the edge of his seat, so that he can rest an elbow on his knee. He could have been trained, become a knight, become a master. Now his greatest merit to the Jedi High Council is testing out one of their respectable masters, to see if he made a good or bad choice 12 years ago, and whether his reasoning is still sound. Well, that is important, too, Obi-Wan muses, closing his eyes. After all, masters with poor judgment and failing sensibility is teaching a new generation of Jedi Knights. That's bad, right? Maybe he should be honored. He isn't, really. But he would like to be finally able to outgrow his childhood disappointments and just leave behind the whole thing. This all is a terrible reminder that he hasn't really grown that much since then. He is still a bitter child somewhere on the inside. Qui-Gon Jinn still makes him feel jealous and angry and betrayed. It would be nice to just move on from all that. He doesn't like the idea, but maybe seeing Qui-Gon again could help. And maybe after, it could finally become a non-issue for him. A mere moment of his past, no different from any other. And no more significant than any that came after. He thinks he'd like that. After a moment of thinking about it, Obi-Wan scrubs his hands over his face, trying to straighten his beard somewhat, and then quickly pulls his hair up, tying the damp tresses with one of his hairbands collected from around his left wrist. Might as well try and make himself presentable, he thinks wryly. He has a message to send to the highly respected Jedi High Council, after all.